Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, I think we've got Paul Keels on the line. Paul, are you here?
Yeah, Brandon, sorry about that. My phone cut out for some reason.
No problem. Glad to have you here this morning. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Again, Paul on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The Buckeyes coming off of a pretty impressive 38-7 win yesterday. Paul, you've seen a lot of Ohio State football. Can you try to put in perspective for us what you've seen from this team so far this year? I realize everybody wants to talk about the championship aspirations. The fact of the matter is they've got a really backloaded schedule here with Penn State and Michigan and still a Big Ten championship game perhaps to come. But what they've done so far has been pretty impressive.
Well, it has been, Brendan, and a lot of it is really jumps out at you, the fact that it's a new quarterback who has fit so well in connecting with the other pieces, running back, receiving group, deep offensive line, and then a defense that, by and large, is mostly the same players from last year, but with all but one exception, a completely different coaching staff, and how they have just improved by eons the way they played from a year ago. The lack of giving up big running plays, things like that. And so they've become really a complete football team in ways that, you know, maybe all of us who watch them all the time are a little surprised at how quickly that's come about.
How impressed were you with the way that they essentially silenced Jonathan Taylor, who many people regard as the top running back in the country? Obviously, he's got 5,000-plus career rushing yards, but two of his worst games of his career are against Ohio State. Is that something that you think is going to maybe be an asterisk on his resume at the end?
Well, impressed, given the fact that they have improved their passing game. You know, in recent years, as good as they played, one of their shortcomings was that when Alex Hornibrook was their quarterback, he was turnover prone with interceptions. Jack Cohn had improved that for the most part during the course of this season, and even late last year when he took over as a starter. So it didn't have to all fall on Jonathan Taylor. There were other threats, and even at times yesterday showed, you know, Quintez Cephas, you know, Aaron Cruikshank, that they were guys that could provide some offensive threats outside of Jonathan Taylor. But the fact that they did that against that team, against that running back, and with an offensive line, and even though they've been banged up in some areas, but it played well to certain points of the season. Very, very impressive. And the fact that for a guy that's going to finish with one of the greatest college football careers of anybody, that his two worst games have been against Ohio State, that you can't help but take notice of that.
Well, the Buckeyes certainly happy to see that be the case. And depending on how things shake out, right now it looks like it could be Minnesota, but you never know. Perhaps Wisconsin might find their way into the Big Ten championship game again, and maybe the Buckeyes will have to find a way to stop Jonathan Taylor one more time. But we'll see if that ever comes to fruition. I'm curious about the environment yesterday in the early third quarter when the Buckeyes gave up their first touchdown and Wisconsin was clearly giving them a game. Obviously, some of it was weather-related, but what was that environment like and maybe some of the nervousness from the fan base before the Buckeyes started to really put things together?
Well, it was a challenging day for anybody who attended the game because of the weather, and you know that was something that everybody kind of had, the forecast had led everyone to be aware that would happen. But you know the fact that, and that touchdown occurred because of a deflected punt that gave right. Wisconsin a short field. So I think that did create some tension, and tension because Ohio State has not had to be concerned about a game that late into a game prior to yesterday, and that it was against an opponent that everybody really valued as a highly regarded football team. But the fact that they took the next possession and they were marched downfield and score, I think really kind of gave everybody more confidence. Just, you know, trying to speak for the fans or speak for us in the radio booth or whatever, it just made you feel that they had regained their swagger. They'd taken a punch, they'd given up a touchdown, but you know, they were ready to get back to business to see about trying to keep the momentum back on their side. So, and that's also something else that encourages you about how good this football team can be, that they had something bad happen, but they were able to recover immediately from it.
Voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels, our guest this morning. Paul, I've got a question that might be an odd question because I bet you don't get asked about this particular player a lot, but you're around the team, and so perhaps you can educate us a little bit more about Chris Chuganov. I think there are probably some Buckeye fans that look at this group and think, okay, the only real weakness might be depth at quarterback. And God forbid Justin Fields ever get hurt. Yesterday he did go in the medical tent after he got knocked around on one of his touchdowns. But if, for whatever reason, Chris Chuganov had to come into a game in meaningful, real, really impactful minutes, I would imagine you've probably seen him at practice or interact with his teammates. What can you tell fans about Chris Chuganov, the backup quarterback, that might give them some ability to take a deep breath should Justin Fields ever not be able to go?
Well, practice is closed, so I don't get a chance to see him any more than what people see during the game. But he is a guy that it's a real strange situation involving everything that happened from last year to this year. Chris Chuganov came in right before the season started last year as a graduate transfer from West Virginia. I think he had played in five games and maybe had even started a couple. And through all of last year, he only played in one series, and that was against Rutgers. But then as spring footer, actually as the season ended last year after the Rose Bowl, when you had Dwayne Haskins leaving for the NFL, Tate Martell deciding to transfer with Justin Fields coming in, you had Matthew Baldwin, who was coming off a redshirt year. Chris Chuganov was the only quarterback that had played any minutes at all in a real game. And that quarterback room then, with Matthew Baldwin eventually leaving, you had Justin Fields, Chris Chuganov, and Gunnar Hoge. And Chuganov was the only one that had been in a game for Ohio State. Right. Fortunately, he's been able to get a lot of snaps in some of these lopsided games. He's thrown, I think it's two or three touchdown passes on the year. So he's gotten some live game experience. But, you don't know. And that is the one thing that could really be a derailing factor to Ohio State if something does happen to Justin Fields. Fortunately, the incident you referenced was just one play, and he was able to get back out there because I think Chuganov had to come in on third down. They ended up punting the ball, and then Fields was ready for the next possession. That is a scary situation. But, unfortunately, this day and age, with the way college football is with quarterbacks and the transfer portal, it's not an unusual thing. And that's been some of the concern that Ryan Day has expressed about Justin Fields and getting rid of the football, but also trying not to retard his ability to make things happen on broken plays.
You mentioned Ryan Day. What's the biggest difference working with Ryan Day as opposed to working with Urban Meyer?
Well, Ryan Day has been a real joy to work with. He seems to, I don't know if you say enjoy the media responsibilities, but he embraces it. He's got more media availability to the group of media that cover Ohio State. The things that we have to do as a rights holder, he's been fantastic at. It was not Urban's favorite thing to do. He made that clear to everybody. It wasn't a personal thing. It was just something he didn't like doing during the course of the season, which is ironic now that he's working at TV.
Exactly.
But Ryan is able to do that. He's just as good, from what it sounds, with boosters, with meeting with alumni groups and things like that. And Brandon, I've got to think that a lot of that really filters down to the players through him and his coaching staff with how they're playing this year. Now, when it's time to be tough and when it's time to be a taskmaster, he's shown he can do that. But I think that really Ryan Day makes it about the football team and it's about the coaching staff. And you don't notice him as a bigger than the team figure, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. The thing I hear Ryan Day talk a lot about is toughness and grittiness, and essentially, look, we're going to try to ignore the noise and figure out just how good we are, because you can't buy into everything that everybody else is saying if you want to believe all the headlines. When I watch J.K. Dobbins run, the thing that most impresses me is his toughness. He's not the biggest guy, but boy, is he a physical guy and certainly has explosive speed. He's one of the better running backs at this point now in Ohio State history. What do you most enjoy about watching him play?
Well, I think the real big thing about him this year, Brendan, is the fact that he's not having to share a major of the key reps with another running back. I mean, that the last 2 years he had to do that with Mike Weber, and that was understandable given what Mike Weber had done for this football program. But he came in, not that he wasn't in good shape, but he came in better shape. I think he dropped to like 4% body fat, but also came in running with an edge, with an attitude. And yeah, that's probably not unique to any football player at any position, but because he was interviewed so much, he talked a lot about it. And the thing you now see J.K. Dobbins doing is he can be patient. He can let the holes develop. He can let the running lanes develop. And he doesn't have to go out there hunting the big play. He's just and Ryan Day has a saying, slow to, fast through, meaning slow to the hole to be able to read it and you know, figure out the best way to diagnose it, but then fast through the hole and the opportunities there. And I think that's what you're seeing J.K. Dobbins do, as well as becoming a key player with catching passes and what they do in the passing game.
Voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keel, our guest this morning on 92.3 The Fan. The Ohio State Buckeyes are on a bye next week. They have two pretty winnable games, you would think, with Maryland and Rutgers the 2 weeks after that. And then the schedule gets really tough. Penn State at home, at Michigan on November 30th, and if they can get there, the Big Ten championship game. At the moment, it looks like it could be Minnesota, which is kind of odd because absolutely nobody is talking about the undefeated Gophers. There are three unbeaten teams in the Big Ten. Is this one of those years where you look around the league, Paul, and think, boy, this league is so deep, you really can't look past the next game on the schedule?
True, but I don't think before the season started you would have been looking at some of these teams as the ones you would think would be in that category. You know, Penn State was kind of a real mystery. You didn't know, given the personnel they lost at quarterback, receiver, at defense. They were a team that just was kind of out there not being talked about a lot. Minnesota was a team that people had seen they had improved some last year, but you really didn't know how much they'd improved, and they probably weren't talked about a lot given, you know, all of the deserved hype about Wisconsin, all of the not deserved hype about Nebraska. Minnesota was just kind of a little bit of an outlier. Now, I think what's helped both Minnesota and Penn State, but more Minnesota's case, is the schedule. They have a very impressive road win in double overtime at Fresno State. You know, not an easy place to play. Now, nobody's going to mistake Fresno State for Murderers Row, but a crucial win for them. And they've been able to take advantage of the Big Ten schedule that saw them play Nebraska at home, that has seen them not have to play Ohio State or Michigan. Now, in a couple of weeks, they'll play Penn State. They'll play them in Minneapolis, and we'll learn a little more about both of those teams in that game. And I think what that's done now is create some real intrigue with what can happen with the Big Ten West and who might come out of there and go to Indianapolis in the championship game. Because even with two losses, Wisconsin still can somewhat kind of have a big effect on what happens in the West. But no, I think those weren't the teams you would have thought you'd have been talking about being unbeaten other than maybe Ohio State.
Yeah, I totally agree. Penn State kind of took people by surprise, and I don't think many people outside of Minnesota fans thought that they were going to have the kind of season they've had so far, and looking forward to their next game for sure. One more before we let you go, and I want to ask you about Chase Young. I mean, he is an absolute unstoppable force right now, and I feel like perhaps yesterday he had his quote-unquote Heisman moment, and it was sort of a collection of moments. He played so well against a team that everybody anticipated was going to try to be able to slow him down a bit. When you think about Chase Young's progression, where has he taken his biggest step forward from last year to this year? Because everybody has this kid's ceiling through the roof.
Well, what most people didn't realize, last year he was playing with a bad ankle. And then when Nick Bosa left the team after a couple of games, all of the opposing offenses really were targeting Chase Young as the person they had to stop from Ohio State's defense. Now that he's healthier, but also Chase Young would probably be the first to tell you he's benefiting from the play of guys like Jayshon Cornell, Devon Hamilton, Robert Landers, Tyreek Smith, because teams can't overload things toward Chase Young because those other players have been disruptive. And the linebacking group has played very well. And I think Chase Young has benefited from how well the defense as a whole has played. And the defense as a whole has benefited from the way Chase Young has played. He's a year older, more experienced, and working not only with Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach, but the influence of the other two defensive coaches, namely Greg Madison, who's a co-defensive coordinator, along with Jeff Hafley. He's really benefited from that. You know, it's funny you mentioned Heisman, because my partner on the air, Jim Lachey, yesterday mentioned that people should start talking about Chase Young for the Heisman Trophy. I mean, rarely do you ever hear people talk about a defensive player or somebody being considered for it. But you really saw how he influenced Wisconsin when early in the game, rather than lining up at end, he went to the middle of the formation and lined up over the center. And Wisconsin, I believe Wisconsin took a timeout because they weren't, they did. Actually, one of their wide receivers called timeout because that was something that Ohio State and Chase Young had not shown. Wisconsin obviously had not seen. And it just showed the way he can influence a football game.
Yeah, I think it's a ton of fun to watch him play. And to your point, largely because the guys around him are so good that if you just put so much attention on Chase Young, you're still coming up with a losing equation. But he, in some of those one-on-one situations, he just made guys look silly yesterday, about as entertaining as it gets. Chase Young, four quarterback sacks yesterday, tied an Ohio State single-game record, five tackles for a loss, also an Ohio State single-game record. And 13 and a half sacks this season tie him for second in Ohio State's single season history with Joey Bosa from 2014. So we are talking about a guy, folks, that is elite. He is absolutely in the conversation for the best defensive player in the country, if he's not already agreed upon as that, and you just might see him in the top pick of the draft in April. We'll see how that plays out. Paul, thanks for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your time, and hope it's a fun rest of the year for you.
Sounds good, Brandon. Take care.
You too. Paul Keels, voice of the Buckeyes, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.